How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. I'm up. I had a great day yesterday. Our seminarians met with the bishop in the evening, and one of the seminarians picked me up. I'm his spiritual director, and we went to the affair. There are 15 in our diocese now, and we prayed. We had evening prayer together, and then pastors came in to a thing that they call Andrew Day. Did you ever hear St. Andrew Day?
No.
Andrew was the one who introduced Peter, his brother, to Jesus. And so they talk about friends introducing, at this dinner, at St. Andrew dinner, bringing others to Jesus, and that may have a vocation. And it was really sweet the way I met so many beautiful young men there. And Harrison, whom I'd love dearly, and his I knew his mother, and his father was killed, and his brother, and so he's just been a very lifelong companion of mine. I've known him since he's just a little boy. He was there, and he's now 17, 18, just fine young man, and met a lot of pastors with their young men from around the country.
How busy you are.
It's marvelous. It really is. And today it's the Feast of the Holy Innocents. And it's at, when the massacre of the children occurred in Newton, Connecticut, around this time of Christmas, it just awakened in me how when Jesus was born, so many children were killed. You know, and I was thinking, were there 20 babies there that Herod killed? You know, when you read the account in Matthew's gospel of after the Magi had left, the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph with the command, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Stay there until I tell you otherwise. Herod is searching for the child to destroy him. Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and left that night for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Once Herod realized that he had been deceived by the astrologers, he became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and its environs, making his calculation on the basis of the date he had learned from the astrologers. What was said through Jeremiah the prophet was then fulfilled. A cry was heard at Ramah, sobbing and loud lamentations, Rachel bewailing her children, no comfort for her since they are no more. And that scene that you and I and so many in our country was looking at, that horrible scene of the slaughter of the children in Newton, can be seen right there in this gospel. The babies with a fanatic king going around and killing the innocent children. And how many there were in Bethlehem and its environs under two. To remember large families then. And so there must have been several, maybe about 20, that were killed that day. And the households of all those we could see very dramatically in our own country, the chilling, horrible evil of just killing innocent babies. And in the church's light of what happened there. Of course, the Holy Family escaped with the child. and gone into Egypt and waited till this madman, you know, what horrible desecration this was of human life. And he had just taken it under his own command to kill all those babies. And I see a similar thing in our own country with the unborn. To think even for a moment that life is something that I can take and not have blood on my hands. God is the author of life. In this same celebration of the Eucharist, the Church reminds us of the horrors of taking this life into our own hands. And John continues in his teaching. Here, then, is the message we have heard from Jesus Christ and announced to you, that God is light. In him there is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him while continuing to walk in darkness, we are liars and do not act in truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him and one another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we are free of the guilt of sin, we deceive ourselves. And I believe ever since our country has recognized abortion, that's what we're saying. But if we say we are free of the guilt of sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not to be found in us. But if we acknowledge our sins, he who is just can be trusted to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from every wrong. It is wrong to kill the unborn. And any mother or father who kills his own child has taken life. Life is from God. That is not yours to take. And what you have taken is the life of your own child. But if we acknowledge our sins, he who is just can be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrong. If we say we have never sinned, we make him a liar, and his word finds no place in us. My little ones, I am writing this to keep you from sin. But if anyone should sin, we have in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, as an intercessor who is just. And so this horrible thing that is taking place in our country, the horrible massacre of children in Newton by a madman, the account in today's gospel of the Holy Innocents, of the killing of these children by Herod. What makes Herod such a despot? He refuses to admit that he's a sinner. And I wonder where he is after he died. God is his judge. But there are such madmen who have this blood on their hands, and more than his, the blood of these children. And the one who took over after him had the same blood of evil on his hands when he killed the innocent John the Baptist. And so as we celebrate this feast of the Holy Innocents, those children that died, the Church recognizes as martyrs. Their little voices weren't able to be raised, but their lives that were taken. And they're called the white-robed martyrs of the Holy Innocents. And the Church has celebrated their feast. And they are there as a testimony to the eternal glory of Jesus Christ, who through his suffering, death, and resurrection has brought glory to these holy innocents. At this particular time of history, I would like to think of them as 20. 20 babies, 20 little children, somewhat like those who went to heaven in that Newton, Connecticut massacre. And the mourning and the weeping that we saw of their parents and their families and our shedding of our tears with them. But to see it as a deepening within ourselves of a protection and a care and a love for children. On this Feast of the Holy Innocents, I just reach out to all of you parents with your little ones that God has given us this life, and that we recognize that each child that's given to us is from God. You didn't make your children. They are sent and given you by God, and they are immortal. They are going to live forever. The Feast of the Holy Innocents tells us these babies are going to live forever and forever with God as the Holy Innocents, and so will your children. And so today, as we think and we pray on this Feast of the Holy Innocents, I would love to think about and pray for all the children who are in war, in those countries and places on earth where the suffering is going on. Our Holy Father, when he was naming the places on earth where there was war, reaching out for God to protect the children in these countries, in the places on earth where there is famine. I know in New Hampshire, there's a community of religious, of women, who are reaching out to children whose parents have abused them and neglected them. And the court has moved in the state of New Hampshire and taken those children from their parents who are drug addicts, alcoholics, and have neglected them and abused them. There are so many children in our country who are in a similar state. Each of us has to pray. How many children are given to parents, and some parents who are unable to conceive and long for children, look and see children of an alcoholic or a drug addict. I commend these magnificent women who are spending their lives. It's a new community. They're raised up for this particular evil. In our day, it's an evil that they're not orphaned, they're just neglected and abused. When I was in Haiti, Mother Teresa's community had 40, 50, 60 babies that had AIDS. These little babies were conceived with AIDS or HIV. They'll never be able to be adopted out. They'll never be able to know a family and a home because AIDS is incurable, and they were conceived with it. They usually die when they're 4 or 5 or 6 years old. Mother Teresa's nuns, when I see them, so caring, so loving. I remember this one nun holding this sweet little baby that had AIDS and was dying, and there was a sign, though your mother and father forsake you, I will never forsake you. And the tender love she was giving this child with AIDS. I believe there was a woman, well, actually, she lives right next door to my brother in California, Mary, and she adopted a child from a mother who, and the baby was a crack baby. And although it's a sweet little baby, and she just took and so dedicated her life to this child They adopted it. And now this young man is 18 years old. And the sweetness and the beauty of that was brought out of this child, every single capacity he had was developed. He now works in a store packaging groceries. The fact that he is capable of this amount of activity is so enormously to her credit and to the awareness that she had of the beauty of this little boy. I remember Mother Teresa also saying that babies that were born with Down syndrome, so many of them, as soon as their mothers hear that they're going to have a Down syndrome baby, then they're encouraged to abort them. Down syndrome are professors of love. Any of you who have a Down syndrome child, the love that comes into the whole world around them through a Down syndrome child. On this Feast of the Holy Innocents, it helps us again to recognize and focus on what John was talking about in his epistle, that life and light is from God. God is the creator of life. He is life itself. He's the one who creates life. And life is in his hands, not ours. And all of life, especially from the very conception of a child until its last end in this world, until its own natural, our natural death, is sacred. And so as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents, what a beautiful day to celebrate children, to celebrate the beauty of children, the gift of children, and our own lives. You parents, you have conceived and born and brought children into the world. Thanksgiving and praise to God for your children. And maybe you have had an abortion, and there are millions of you, maybe some hearing my voice. Listen to what John said. Admit of your sin, and there is forgiveness, and there is divine mercy, and there is divine and infinite love for you. And he knows what you have done. And even if God then forgives you, then forgive yourself. And that same child that you killed, you will see one day. Because every human is immortal. I remember in an event of my life, Maria Terrell. She was a very close friend of my mother's and father's in Wilkes-Barre. And when they had formed a prayer team to pray for me when I was in South America, she belonged to it. On the day I arrived back from South America, I still remember this so clearly. She was in the hospital. I had gotten hepatitis, and I was very, very sick. And when I come home, and Maria was in the hospital, and my dad said, when I came home, I know you're tired, and I know you're not feeling well, but Maria Terrell would love to see you. She's in the hospital, and would you go to see her? At that time, she was in the Mercy Hospital in Wilkes-Barre. And I went to see her, and as I walked in the room, her eyes lit up with such joy, and she said to me, "You're all here now. I'm ready to die." And the ones that were there that I could see was her daughter, Lillian, and her son, Gene. One was on each side of her. But then she said to me, "You're here, and my daughter." And then she went around the bed and named five that were there and Gene. And as I ministered to her the last rites and anointed her and blessed her, Indeed, she did die about an hour later. And as I was standing out in the hall with her son and her daughter, I said, that was really wonderful that I could be here. But when she was talking to those people around her bed, I didn't see anyone. And Lillian said, my mother had five miscarriages, and she gave them all a name. And here they were when she was dying to meet her when she was passing over to eternal life. They were there. It's the first time I became aware that her miscarriages had grown up and become fully alive in Christ in the next world. And also, it is with your children that you may have aborted. Name them. You're going to meet them, just as you may have other children that you gave a name to. Name them. They are there, and they'll be waiting for you. And they're saying to you, Mommy, I love you, and Dad, I love you, as you pass from this world. Because in the world where they are, there's holy innocence. There's only love. And without you, they wouldn't have been, even though you didn't want them, even though you have killed them. They love you. Because they're in a place where there is only love. God created light. God made life, all of life, visible and invisible. And to you, this world may be invisible now, but you who are in this visible world are constantly dealing with the invisible life that's all around you, especially children who have died and are waiting for us. Of the millions and millions of children that were aborted in this world, they're waiting for us. They're there. Life is immortal of every human being, and we are all going to spend eternity, whether it be in heaven or in hell. For those who love, there is an eternity of love and life, and there are waiting for us the holy innocents. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God.
Amen, Monsignor. Any final thoughts?
Because God is all love, and John is saying in his epistle, there is no sin once acknowledged that cannot be forgiven. Because God is infinite mercy. And for us, you know, it's not the unforgivable sin. It's not the all sin can be forgiven. And maybe what I want to reemphasize and say again, especially to all of us who are sinners, once we acknowledge our sin, God can forgive it. But it's those who say, there is no guilt and there is no sin, that it can't be forgiven because we won't acknowledge that it really is. And it's so important to be aware of that and to know that once I can say, yes, Lord, I have sinned, then no matter what it is, God says, I forgive you. And so that's probably the last thing I would like to say about that. God bless us all. We're all sinners. And God has blessed us all because in Jesus Christ, all our sins are forgiven.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
I'd like to maybe as a last thing to end with, what we all say before we go to communion, lest I appear that I'm in any way judging any of my brothers or sisters. O Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you, Monsignor.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Bright and early. Bells on my toes. It'll be great. Thank you, Monsignor.